Good evening. So I'd like to say Happy New Year to you, from my family to yours. Pray with me, please. Father, just thank you for this opportunity. This time I ask that you just use me. I ask that you have open minds and open ears, and let not your words fall on deaf ears, Father, in the blood of your name we pray. Amen. Thank you for praying with me. It's not an easy thing to be up here, huh? I'd like to start off by telling you a little story, all right? Please don't judge me either. Well, you can. Go ahead. You can judge me, all right? But as social media started to evolve and become what it was today, I hated it. But I had to realize that I couldn't hate or dislike something that I didn't understand. So as a tool to stay connected to my children, I asked my daughter, could you make me a Facebook page and account? And she said, sure, because that's what older people use. They use Facebook, right? she said, yeah, you don't know anything about the TikTok-ity thing or Snapchat-y or whatever it may be. But because I didn't understand the purpose of this account or the value of the account, I just let it idle for years. I had it, but I didn't use it. I just let it idle for years because I didn't understand its value. But just recently, as I was in my quiet time talking to God, he said, you know, why don't you use that platform as a tool to fellowship? And I said, well, what would I post? Because I'm not posting anything about my family or anything like that. And he said, well, aren't you an inspirational guy? I said, I think I am. He said, don't you want to be an influencer for me? I said, well, I know I do want to be one. He said, well, can't you impact lives like that? I said, yes. He said, well, then use motivation. So that's what I started to do. I started to post things about motivation, and anybody that follow me and know that at the top of my posts, I used to always have something up there that said, invite God in daily. Invite God in daily. And just around November 2022, maybe early December, I changed it to fellowship with God. And tonight I want to talk to you about fellowship. See, because God has been dealing with me about fellowship, and that's really been on my heart. And I said, wow, man, I did not know that social media was a form of fellowship. It's like a connection fellowship. I said, wow, is that a form really of a fellowship? The second form of fellowship I want to talk to you about is kind of what we come to the church for. We congregate with other people that we share something in common with. We all are believers. And we want to communicate around the word of God. Right? We share a common interest. So that's something that we find interesting and we talk about it. But I know we have side conversations. Men talk about cars, sports, you know, work. Women talk about, and don't judge me on this, women, all right? Try to get my wife to help me. But, you know, women talk about, you know, motherhood, children, their husbands, maybe. But overall, these are all forms of communication, of fellowship, but that's not the fellowship that I want to talk to you about. Today, I ask that you turn in your Bibles to Daniel 3. We'll start in verse 20, 21. Then these men were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst. I'm going to say that again. Fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. I know for some of us, when we go through trials, we start to keep our eyes on our situation, our tribulations, the trials that we go through. And over these years, I've come to learn that it's what you go through is making you stronger, right? So let's read a little bit further. Sorry. Let me catch where I was at. Then King Nebuchadnezzar, he astonished and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, Did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? But then he took a look and they answered and they saw four men loose walking in the midst of the fire. And they were not hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. I tell you this. When you fellowship with God, you get to get into his presence, right? But not only do you get into his presence, but you get to invite him into your life. You get to see things with a purpose. You get to see things through a different vision. But see, these men was in trials. They had nothing to lose, but they stood firm on what they believed. They were servants. So they stood firm on what they believe, and they didn't stray away from that. And I don't know who I may be talking to tonight, but I want to say to you that whatever it is that you're going through, just like these three men that was in a furnace, God can be with you when you fellowship with him. And that fellowship is oneness in spirit. God wants to have a connection with you. He wants to be included. He don't want to just be present. He wants to be included. He wants to walk with you through your trials. And when I thought about that, it made me think about Peter walking on water. When we put our eyes on our situation, we start to sink. But when we keep our eyes and have fellowship with God, God is right there keeping us protected, keeping us safe. Why? Because he loves us. But we have to stay in constant fellowship with him. It was amazing to see the fact that not only did they see the guys that they put into the fire, but they seen the Son of God. And God is saying in that moment, because of the fellowship that I have with you, the oneness in spirit with you, I walk with you, I love you, I care for you. And you don't stray away from that. And it's hard for us not to focus on the problems and the situations that we go through that help us to grow in life. It made me take a step back as I was reading this and saying, is this a real understanding of fellowship? Is this what it is? Is it more than just a conversation? Is it more than just me getting down on my knees and just praying, but actually inviting God in and say, hey, God, I want a relationship with you. This is a trial. This is a tribulation that these gentlemen are facing, but they kept their eyes in the right place where it needed to be. On God. And that's why, as you read along further, I'm pretty sure you guys are aware of the story that the king had to take them out of the fire, and he recognized that they was not had a cinch of fire. They didn't lose a hair. They didn't lose anything. Why? Because they was in the presence of God. They was fellowshipping with God. They had a oneness with God, and God was showing them that if you trust me and you lean not to your own understanding, I got you. I have you. I will take care of you. So I don't know who I'm talking to tonight. Whatever it may be, a health problem, a job, work, a relationship, whatever it may be, just understand that if you continue to trust in God, he'll walk with you. I can prove it to you. Turn into 1 Corinthians 1:9. 1 Corinthians 1:9. First Corinthians 1:9 says, God is faithful. I want to stop there. It says, God is faithful. And what does that mean? God is faithful. God is reliable. Would you agree with that? Right? God is dependable, right? Would you agree with that? God is trustworthy. Would you agree with that? I think we all can agree that his promises are always true. Would you agree with that? So tell me, if he says, I will never leave you or, I will never leave you or, why would he start now? Why would he start now? No matter what it is that you're going through, all he asks is for the fellowship, for your love, for your eyes, your attention, your communication to be on him. We give so many other things, our time and energy, but how much time do we fellowship with the word? How much time do we allow the word to sink in? Not just read it, but understand it. Did you hear me in the beginning? I did not understand social media. So how can I hate something that I did not understand? I'm sorry if I'm getting a little bit emotional to you guys. Let's read a little bit further. It says, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his son, Jesus Christ. I'm going to say that one more time. By whom you were called into the fellowship of his son, Jesus Christ. See me smiling. This is a beautiful part, because that fellowship that he's calling you into is partnership. You get to partake into a life that you If you didn't choose to walk with God, you wouldn't even have an understanding of. But because you choose to walk with him, he's giving you grace. He's giving you mercy. He's giving you the understanding of true love. He's giving you an understanding of purpose. You wouldn't even know your purpose without God. I hear so many times, without God, you're not going to make it. Because in the word, it says we all have a plan, but God is the one that establishes our steps. Hold up, man. You guys are always looking at me funny, making me feel funny, man. Do you guys agree with that? I just need to know, man. I just need to know, because of the fact is that God wants to have communion with you. God wants to have communion with you, not just at the first of the month. God wants communion with you every day. He wants to share something with you every day, but we have to keep our eyes on him. I'm a point guy, so my first point to you is this. God gives you rest. Would you agree with that? When you fellowship with God, God gives you rest. I would think back that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had rest in that fire. Would you agree with that? They was resting. They didn't even think about nothing else because they were servants and they knew who they served. So they didn't have to worry about anything. They was at peace. Did God give you peace? They was at peace. Whatever you're going to do, bro, just do it. It's not going to affect me either way because I know who I'm trusting. And when you go through something, God is saying, do you trust me? That's the question that you got to ask yourself. Do I fellowship with God really? Or do I just have conversation? Because Matthew 18:20 says, for two or three to gather together in the midst of me, my name is included, there I am. That's bigger than just a conversation. See, I have to be included, God said. When I'm included, then I'm in the midst of that. Do you guys agree with that? Then I'm in the midst of it, right? A conversation, hey, man, I like your car. Yeah, it's great. Yeah, we are fellowshipping, right? But God said, I want to be in the midst of it. Can you include me into it? I don't just want to be acknowledged and say, oh, I know you're there. I want to be included. Invite God in. Fellowship with God. The second thing that I want to let you know is fellowship to me is like love. See, in fellowship, when God is in it, you get to take a step back. You get to be a doormat for somebody else, a sacrifice. You get to hear them. In the conversation, you got to be able to hear somebody before you can respond. But we so quick to respond. And the Bible say, be slow to speak and quick to, oh my God. You guys don't know that one? Slow to speak and what? Wow. Oh man. Wow. And quick to hear, right? But lastly, when you get in the presence of God and you fellowship with God, God gives you this. And I'm very excited about this, guys. You guys don't understand. I'm very excited about this. You get to see a person for who they are, the way that God wants you to see them, not for who you project them to be. Oh my God. Let me say that one more time. See, when you're in the presence of God and you get the fellowship, that flesh, it automatically has you looking at them some kind of way. You sizing them up, right? But when you're in the presence of God, God is saying, but I love him like I love you. Is that true? I love him like I love her like I love you. So what makes you better? Oh my God, right? You know better than that person. I love them the same way. But I need you to stay in fellowship with me so that way you can see them the way that I want you to see them through my eyes and not your own. Can you guys receive that? Thank you, guys.
Hey, good evening. Welcome to church again. Hey, the theme of the night tonight is fellowship. So let's take a minute right now. Let's stand up. Let's take a break. And let's fellowship with one another. Go ahead. All right. Break it up. Here we go. Come on now. You guys really went for it. Okay, everyone please take a seat unless your name is Luke Myers. Everyone please take a seat unless your name is Luke Myers. All right, everyone, take a look at Luke standing back over here. Give him a round of applause. Luke just got back from Argentina, so I just wanted to give him a shout out. He spent an entire semester in Argentina. He wasn't doing it for a practicum. He wasn't doing it for like any school credits. He just went because he felt called and he did it. And that's amazing. Okay. Hey, so yeah, the theme of tonight. Yeah, give him a round of applause. That's great. We love that. That's a student at our Bible college. Shameless plug. The theme of the night, again, fellowship. Fellowship. Did you guys feel that as you walked around just now? Awesome. All right, let's pray, and then let's see what else God has for us on the topic. Yes, Jesus, we thank you for loving us, for caring for us, every single thing about our lives, for counting the hairs on our head, for knowing our coming and our going, our sitting down and our uprising, for just being concerned with every part of our lives. We thank you for that, Lord. Jesus, cover us tonight. Help us to hear your voice. Help us to respond to you. Help us to, if we were little sheep in your field, help us to run after you when we hear you speak to us. And yeah, Lord, we just ask you to speak through your word tonight. And we thank you for Cedric. We thank you for Seth, for the band, for everyone who's contributed to the evening, AVIT, everyone involved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so this word fellowship, the passage I'm going to be in most of the night is 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. So go ahead and turn there in your Bibles, 1 John chapter 1. nitty-gritty detail out of the way, the Greek word for fellowship found four, maybe five times in 1 John chapter 1. Koinonia, koinonia, koinonia. Okay, there's three words that I'm going to get to that Greek word helps us understand whenever we think of the word fellowship. But before I do that, I'm just going to give you four straight benefits of fellowship that we find all throughout the general epistle of 1 John. Okay, so the first one, first benefit of fellowship is found in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 4. And I'll read the verse. And these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. So first benefit of fellowship, that your joy may be full. Well, that's a great benefit. We're gonna talk about them all collectively, but second one. Second benefit of fellowship. Chapter 2 and verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Second benefit of fellowship. It guards us against sin. Guards us against sin. Pardon my chicken scratch, but I think the visual helps us to focus. Third benefit of fellowship. 1 John chapter 2, verses 22 and 26. It protects us. It warns us against liars and seducers. Warns us against liars and seducers. I don't know. Can you see the fourth? No. Okay. Final benefit, chapter 5 and verse 13. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13. These things have I written unto you that you believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Final benefit of fellowship is to strengthen your relationship with Christ. Strengthen your relationship with Christ. Now, out of those four points, the third point to me is one of the most interesting. It says that one of the benefits of fellowship is to warn us against liars and seducers. In the book, in the epistle of 1 John, John, this is the same writer of the Gospel of John. This is the same writer of Revelation. He was writing this passage specifically to warn against this group of believers called Gnostics, people who believe in something called Gnosticism. Some basic tenets of the idea of Gnosticism say that Jesus Christ was never incarnated and walked on the earth. Another basic tenet of the idea of Gnosticism is that all matter, everything about creation, is evil, but everything about the spiritual world and the spirit life is pure. Okay, now keep those two things in mind as we read 1 John chapter 1, because John is really trying to drive a point home in the first couple verses. And he does an amazing job, so I'm just going to read it and let him do the talking here. 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And then verse 4, and these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Now, if he's writing this to believers, addressing this idea of Gnosticism, hoping that they don't get confused, that they don't follow this lie, that they don't follow the deceit, the subtlety of the devil, he's saying something really clear here. He's saying, I have walked with Christ for 3 years on the earth. I have been next to him. I have laid my head on his chest at the Last Supper. I have seen him do miracles. I have seen him touch people and people be healed. The word of life, which I have handled, which my eyes have seen, which my ears have heard, this goes way beyond any spiritual understanding of this person of Jesus Christ. This is the physical human form of Jesus Christ that John is testifying about. He's saying, I stood right next to that man. I was there with his mother when he was crucified on the cross. I saw him suffer and die a horrible, painful death for our sakes, because of the love that he had for us, because of the joy that was set before him. I watched that take place. There is nothing about that that was fake, that was a sham. There is nothing about that that was a lie. That's the truth. That's what I've seen from the beginning. This is like really important to talk about when we think about this idea of fellowship, because one of the first words that this Greek word koinonia refers to is community. By the way, Cedric did an amazing job in his message. He hit all of my points in so many different ways. I was just like, wow. All right, I don't even have to come up here right now. But this is just an amazing aspect of spiritual life, walking with God, that the Spirit of God would speak to him and give him a message, and that it would correlate to everything happening in this room right now, that it would correlate to each and every one of your lives right now. So the first word, community, you know what this word indicates? Being united in purpose. You actually have the word unity there at the end, being united in purpose. What is the body of believers? What is the body of Christ? We are all united in purpose under one head. Who is our head? Jesus Christ. That's Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. We are unified under the purpose of being under the head of Jesus Christ. He is our shepherd in John chapter 10, and we are the sheep of his pasture who hear his voice. We are one flock. We are together. We have one mind, Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, that which was in Christ Jesus. When we're walking in community with one another, he said this so well, I'm just going to repeat it a different way. When we're walking in community with one another, in Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, this is our attitude as we walk together in fellowship. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. When we're walking in fellowship with Christ and we're walking in fellowship as a body of believers, you know where we're looking? Outward. We're not looking inward. We're not looking at ourselves. We're not thinking about ourselves. We're not worried about ourselves. We're not worried about how others perceive us. We're looking outward at the needs of the people all around us. When I said, hey, let's stand up in fellowship, you know what you did? You looked outward. You went somewhere and you talked to someone. Maybe you gave them a word of encouragement. Maybe they gave you one. But it was like perfect. The mind of Christ was in you and in them. And you guys were fellowshipping together. That's fellowship. It's community. Community. We are fellow workers, fellow laborers with God in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. So you have it in 1 John chapter 1. You have this idea of community in verse 3. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 3. We'll read it again. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship, community with us. And then a different kind of fellowship is coming in this next word in the same verse. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. You know what the next word that relates to fellowship is? Relates to the Greek word is speaking about being connected to Christ, connected to God. It's communion. We have communion with Jesus Christ. In the New Testament, this word, this specific Greek word is used again. It's used again in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 16. And it's specifically talking about the ordinance of communion, the blood of Christ, the body of Christ that we both partake in. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16. Gnosticism is this this belief that takes people away from the accountability of Christ having lived and died and suffered for their sins. Gnosticism is this belief that whenever the book of John, the gospel, whenever Jesus says to all of them in John chapter 6, maybe verse 53 or verse 54, he says, you need to eat my flesh and drink my blood. This belief excuses them from that entire concept, excuses them from that intimacy that communion provides for us whenever we are with, when we are having fellowship with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Can you imagine? You're in that huge crowd of disciples back in John chapter 6. Do you know how many people left Jesus Christ after he said those words in John chapter 6? The entire crowd except for the 12. The entire crowd. You need to eat my flesh and drink my blood. Oh, these things are too hard for us. We're out here. I'm pretty sure Gnosticism was probably born right then and there. They just got together. They conferred on the side. They went their way and they said, okay, we're going to change what he just said because we don't believe that and we don't want to avail ourselves to that. We don't want to submit to that idea. But Christ is saying, I want to be so intimate with you that I want to share my nature and my being with you. Communion in his blood and in his body. Do you know what it says in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 14 about having communion with his blood? That our conscience has been sprinkled. That our conscience is let's read it. Let's read it. It's better to read it. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. This is having communion with the blood of Christ. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Your conscience has been purged by the blood of Christ. You have been set free from any guilt in your mind by the blood of Christ. It has been poured out on the mercy seat once for all in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 14 to let you know that all your sins, past, present, and future, are forever forgiven when you apply faith into his blood, when you apply faith into who Jesus Christ is. The man who stepped down from heaven in Philippians chapter 2, walked this earth next to you and died your death for you, was crucified on your behalf. That's having communion. That's having intimacy. That's having fellowship with Jesus Christ. It's an amazing thing to know that we can have fellowship with him. By his blood in Romans chapter 5, verse 9, we have been justified. By his blood in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, we have been redeemed. We have been made legally clean, justified, legally set free, legally declared not guilty. We have been redeemed. We are being repurchased, repurposed for his use. That's like amazing, all through his blood, all through his broken body. Though he was rich, he became poor, Though he was strong, he became weak. Okay, this final word, wrapping up. Final word. It's a hyphenated word. Fellowship indicates joint participation. That's like a six. That's not even every. All right. I'm done with that. Okay. Joint participation. Let's continue reading 1 John chapter 1, and then let's make a point here at the end. Starting in verse 5, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, if we say that we have communion with Jesus Christ, but we actually walk in darkness and walk against being intimate with him and go the opposite way of the things that he talks to us about and the things that he teaches us, then we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, communion one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. If we say that we have fellowship with Christ, if we say that we are joint participators with Jesus Christ, where does it say that we're joint participators with Jesus Christ? Romans chapter 8 says we are not just heirs, but we are co-heirs with Jesus Christ. We are receiving the same blessings and promises from God that Jesus Christ himself receives. Why? Because we are his body, he is our head, and we are receiving trickle-down effect everything from him. Any benefit that he could ever have through his Father Jesus Christ in that relationship, we are partakers of. We get to behold. We get to be overwhelmed with as we walk this earth. But what's our part? What's our participation? It says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, what our participation is. Confess your sins. Simple. Confess your sins. Our participation is to believe God, to confess. Yes, Lord, I am a sinner. You don't even count it against me, but I'll say it anyway. I'm a sinner, and because I believe that, and because I believe you, and because I believe what you say, I am forgiven completely and cleansed of everything right from the get-go. Right from the get-go, we confess. What's our part in the participation of our walk with God? What's our part? In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, what does it say? For we have been saved by grace through faith, yet not of ourselves. What is it? Oh, you know it. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Are our works part of it? No. What's our part in that whole scenario? Belief, faith, pistos, applying the truth that we have heard, the grace and truth in John chapter 1, verse 16 came by Jesus Christ, and I believe it. That's it. I believe it. I believe that Christ died for me. I believe that his blood atones my sins. I believe that his resurrection gives me the power of resurrection life. That's it. Belief. Faith. Our part is faith. The Hebrew boys in Daniel chapter 3, what was their part? What did they say? O King Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. Our God will either save us, but even if he doesn't, this is paraphrase version, this is the Mac Garrett paraphrase, but even if he doesn't, we will never serve your puny little gods. We will never do it. Our faith is in the Most High God. Our faith is in the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God who does miracles, the God who keeps covenant, the God who sent his Son to die for you and pay for your sins and set you free from all corruption, all bondage, all guilt, all shame, everything that holds us back in life on a daily basis. That's the God that I believe in. Our part is faith. Simple. Oh, this is a good one. Galatians 2:20. We know it by heart, a lot of us. But I want you to think about it differently for a second. I am crucified with Christ. Were you crucified? Did you suffer on the cross? Did you suffer the pain of the nails going through your hands, through your ankles? The suffocation that takes place as you're trying to lift yourself up to breathe? Did you go through that? No, he went through that. And he counts us to have been crucified with him. What's our part? To believe. What's our part? To believe. I am crucified with the Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live how? By faith. Our part is faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Joint participation. You read Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through 39, and you start to learn about the joint participation that you have in Jesus Christ. If God be for you, who can be against you? Does that have anything to do with you? Or does it have to do with who's fighting on your behalf? It has to do with who's fighting on your behalf. If God has freely given us his Son, how shall he not freely give us all things? All things. Is that up to us? No, that's up to God who gave it to us. What's it say? Who is he that condemns you? God is the one who has justified you. Who is he that lays a charge to God's elect? God is the one who has called you into... God is the one who has, like, put you there. No one... There is no jealousy. There is no anger. There is no resentment. There is no looking at the other person and saying, well, what about this thing and that thing? It's like, look away from all of it and look at Christ. Look at the fellowship you have with him. Philippians 2:13, what's our part? He works in us both to will and to do. Do we do the work or does he? He does. 1 Thessalonians 5:24, what's our part? Faithful is he who called you who also will do it. What's our part? Faith. Faith. Fellowship gives us community, gives us like-mindedness one with another. Fellowship gives us communion, gives us an intimate, tangible relationship with Jesus Christ. Fellowship makes us joint participators with who he is, what his plan is, and what he's doing. 2 Timothy 1:9, you have been called before the foundation of the world to a purpose that he has made for your life, and you receive it by grace. What's your part? Faith. Receive it. That's it. Amen. Let's pray. If you are here tonight and you do not have this fellowship with Christ, you have one simple task in front of you. Believe. Believe in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, God loves you so much that he sent his Son to die for you, that he suffered on the cross for you, that he paid the penalty for your sins in your life. Any wrongdoing that has taken place in your life, he can clear that away. He can purge it. Anything that you cannot get out of your mind, he can just take it away completely if you apply faith. You can apply faith tonight in the most simple way. You can say a prayer. You can say, Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you are the Son of God. I believe that you died for me. Thank you for paying for my sins. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for placing me in fellowship with you. If you said that prayer tonight, no one's looking right now. No one's going to judge you for it. If you said that prayer tonight, just lift your hand up real quick and put it back down. We just want to pray for you. If you said that prayer tonight, lift your hand up, put it back down, just to pray for you. Jesus, thank you that you call us unto fellowship, that you are faithful to us, that you provide for us, that you cover us, that you protect us in every aspect of our lives. We ask you to protect our families, to build us up in your love, in your encouragement, in your truth, that we would forsake everything else and follow after you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.